Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. We're recording. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen, and our guest today, I'm honored to say we have George Teague. George Teague, the former Alabama football star, former Dallas Cowboys, drafted by the Green Bay Packers, had a long NFL career. And George, thanks for taking the time to join us. And you're joining us from Texas, where you're the high school head football coach of one of the top programs now in Plano, Texas, John Paul High School there. And again, thank you for being with us today.
Man, Lee, thank you for coming on. I'm glad to be able to share and talk with your listeners out in Louisiana.
Yeah, man, look, I mean, I got to admit, and you were laughing about it, me too, but I told you I was a fan because in the Sugar Bowl in 1993, there's a play I remember you intercepting a ball over Lamar Thomas, and you took it for a pick six, which changed the game. They won, you know, Alabama won 34-13, but you had a fumble recovery in that game too, and I thought that was a hell of a play, George. When I was growing up, I thought that was one of the best DB plays I've seen. I'm sure you've gotten that more than once over your career.
Well, you know, that was a definitely a big moment or moments in my career, just being on that kind of stage and playing in a national championship game is just kind of unbelievable, you know, and when you can do something that people are still talking about, you know, almost 30 years ago, you know, that really touches your heart, because it's not even necessarily about X's and O's at that point. You're talking about heart and not quitting, you know.
Yeah.
We're hoping our kids can still hang on to those principles.
Coach, I'm calling you coach now. I mean, you've been coaching a long time in Texas. You played for Dallas. You played for Dallas two different times in 96 and then 98 to 2001. Drafted in the first round of the draft, and you went 29th to the Green Bay Packers. Played a little bit for Miami Dolphins. You were on a practice squad with Atlanta Falcons. I did my homework with you, Coach. And then you had 15 career interceptions, 447 tackles, and, you know, you grew up in Montgomery, Alabama, but I looked you up. You grew up actually on Air Force Base in Kansas.
Yes, that was a big – being in the military was I grew up that way. So, yes, I was in Kansas for those few years, but all of my life before I moved to Alabama, I was living on a military base. My dad served in the Air Force for 25 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a little different once I got back into – I'm saying the States, but in the civilization world, I guess – and going to Jeff Davis High School in Montgomery. That was the first time that I hadn't lived on the base. Yeah, so it was different. But, you know, I think that shaped me and molded me to who I am today, definitely growing up that way. Surely it helped me with the moves from going from team to team, yeah. You know, and things of that nature. So I'm surprised you found the Atlanta part, man. I don't even talk about the Atlanta Falcons. That was a weird time. I don't. I don't even bring them up at all.
Coach, I want to bring this up, and you would get a kick out of this. Do you know who the New Orleans Saints fans don't like the most in the NFL?
Is that the Falcons that they don't like?
Yeah, they call them the Dirty Birds. And so they don't like Atlanta. So, I mean, I think more Saints fans travel to Atlanta when they play the Falcons than any team, you know, probably outside of Dallas because of distance. But they're just not big. It's not a good thing. It's like Alabama LSU for LSU, I guess, or Alabama Auburn. You know, it's just that's that game. They just don't like to play in that team. I guess it's a good thing. But, Coach, your senior year, in the SEC, you led the conference with six interceptions. You had a long NFL career. And then what made you stay in Dallas? I know you played Dallas two different stints, but, you know, you made your home in the Plano area now as a coach. We'll get to your school. But what made you stay in Dallas?
You know, actually towards the end of my career here in Dallas, me and my wife had opened up a couple stores. We had time. And so we were already starting to plan on putting our roots here unless some type of other job came up, and which it did. I actually had some offers to go coach in high school, kind of go down a broadcasting role, or try to get into the NFL as coaching. And I just had a calling, man. The high school coaching was the way to go. I was offered a job, you know, to be a head coach at a small private school here, and I decided to take it, and here I am 18 years later still being a head football coach and an athletic director, you know, here in Texas.
You got to love it, man. And the high school coaches in Louisiana love that you're on today. Coach, we'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. When I come back, I want to ask you what you think of Jason Witten from the Cowboys taking a job recently in Texas as a coach as well. We're going to talk about your team and talk about Plano and the Taps League. A lot of people in Louisiana, they don't even know what that means. But I want to talk about Taps and the league you're in, the teams you play in the Dallas Plano area. We'll be right back with more George Teague, former Alabama star, former NFL star, Dallas Cowboys. We're not going to mention Atlanta anymore for George. We're going to be right back. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report with George Teague, former Alabama football star, MVP of the Sugar Bowl in 93 against the Miami Hurricanes. What a game, 34-13 Alabama, and then had a long career in the NFL. Coach, did you see that Jason Witten was just hired as a head coach in Texas? You got another former Cowboy alum in the high school ranks now.
Well, this will probably throw you for a loop, because not only is a new former Cowboy coming in, he's actually in my district.
What?
The school that he landed at is at Argyle Liberty Christian, and they are a district opponent of ours. And
wow.
So we're already on the schedule together. We're going to be playing in November against each other, so.
That's crazy.
Small world, is it like that?
Yeah. So Coach George Teague now is the head coach at John Paul in Plano, Texas, John Paul II. And in 2019, Coach, I looked up, you know, I'm not from Texas, but I follow Texas football. But you took your team to the first state championship game ever. Y'all finished runner-up, but that had to be a heck of a experience for you and your family and the community, being the first year that the school ever played in a state championship game.
Oh, yes, sir. Man, it was amazing, you know, just to even be able to get there. You know, when I took the job 4 years ago, it was, you know, they hadn't won a game in 3.5 years, almost 4 years. 0-10. Yeah, so, you know, to come in and get the program rolling, and having the support of the school and parents and everybody to help us get there has been tremendous. So, I got a really good staff too. I got some guys that played in the league as well that have supported me. I got some veteran coaches out of public school. I think we just put together a really good staff, and then got the buy-in from the kids. So, you know, to get down in the state championship game, and it's definitely something I'll never forget. We know how hard it is to do,
yeah,
you know, multiple times. So we're blessed, man. We're blessed to John Paul II High School.
And just like in Louisiana, this COVID-19, Coach, affected your team in 2020. I know I saw that you had four games canceled in 2020. Y'all went 3-4. But what a tough year, huh, Coach? Tough year for families, tough year for sports. But Louisiana, there was a lot of games that were canceled. They had teams in Louisiana, Coach, that couldn't even play in the playoffs, that made the playoffs because they had some cases, and it was unfortunate. But what was it like in Texas this year going through this with your team?
This has probably been one of the most difficult years, at least from a planning perspective and things, because you didn't know. And when you got a, you know, governing body, we're part of a diocese, so you know, a lot of different rules that we had to deal with. It was really, really tough, because it seemed like every day you just had to be ready for something, you know, unordinary. So just to be able to get through and to get back in the playoffs and actually play was an accomplishment,
yeah.
I feel like. But, man, I tell you what, and the coaches are listening, I know it was a stressful time for me, just because, I mean, you literally had to adjust if a kid got sick or felt sick or something, and you might be missing your quarterback or your center or, you know, your whole secondary or something. It's very, very hard to try to plan and get ready for games.
And you know what coaches were saying here, Coach, and I know that you probably went through the same thing, but if a kid sat out, it was a minimum of almost 15 days, and then when they came back, they were out of shape. So you really lost them for almost the whole year, even if they came back.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, I think because we had already started last spring with trying to do things virtually and how to hold kids accountable, and, you know, actually making them video workouts and things of that nature, we already kind of had them trained a little bit, because we still felt like we had a really good team. We just, when we had the guys we had, they needed to be able to, you know, play. So from that standpoint, I felt pretty good most of the time that I knew our guys were going to come back at least ready to go to play. They might not know all of what we've done and adjusted. Yeah. But the online platforms, man, I should have bought stock in Zoom a while back, because after that thing blew up, yeah, it was awesome.
Coach, they passed up Huddle probably by billions, huh? I mean, yeah. Yeah, I wish I was with you on that one, Coach. Look, we'll take a quick break, bring you right back. I've got a friend of mine that's from Montgomery, Alabama. He had a question for you about the difference between your late coach, Gene Stallings, and Nick Saban. I wanted you to think about that when we come back and tell me the difference you think of those two coaches. We'll be right back with more with George Teague, former Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers, Miami Dolphins, and Alabama football star. He's now coaching high school football in Plano, Texas. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen, and we've got our guest, George Teague. George, I've got some Alabama fans here in Louisiana that grew up in Alabama. One friend of mine is from Montgomery. And, you know, I can't talk to this guy without him getting excited. I mean, I think his hair stands up when he talks about spring practice. I mean, he's such an Alabama fan. And, you know, I grew up around LSU. And, you know, you played for the legendary Gene Stallings. Y'all won a national championship in 92. And then there's Nick Saban. He just won one. But what would be the difference, the question my friend had, what's the difference between, you think, your Gene Stallings and Nick Saban? How are those two guys different?
You know, I think, well, let me start with a couple of things that they are similar in, is they both love the kids. They're probably more approachable than you think they would be, just because of their demeanor and how hard they are on, you know, staff and others, maybe perhaps. But one thing that I learned about Nick Saban when I got a chance to meet him early on was that it was strictly going to be about his kids and trying to put the players in a position to be successful, whether it's on the field or off the field. Coach Stallings was the same way. Coach Saban is really hands-on when it comes to coaching, especially in the secondary and things of that nature. Coach Stallings might have had a little bit more delegation, you know, into that when it comes from coaching style and things of that nature. But I think they both are probably more similar than people think, just because of the processes they do for their players. Team meals, breakfasts. I remember the Saturday breakfasts that were mandatory, you know, that you had to go to, or not Saturday, but, you know, a Monday or a Sunday. So it was really, really cool to kind of grow up with that. And it's really shaped me in the way that I do my program, where we want to eat and break bread together. And that's definitely what I learned from Coach Stallings, but I see the similarities in Saban. Yeah. Man, he's a good coach, bro. He's a good coach. Yeah. I know y'all hate that y'all ain't got him there no more. I know y'all still bitter and sour that he's there, but
Well, I think the fans are just, you know, obviously upset. Like, if you would have been, you know, in Baton Rouge and this guy's bringing LSU to, you know, national championships and he leaves and then he, you know, goes to, in the, like you said, the same conference. And it's just, yes. You just, I think the people here are going, when is he going to retire? You know what I mean? When's he going to retire? And now, what do you think of Sarkisian being from your school now in your state now in Texas for the Longhorns? You got to be, you're in a difficult spot. I know anybody recruits your school, I mean, it's wherever kids want to go, but now you've got an Alabama guy, which was a USC guy, now at the UT, the state school, and is he getting around and getting off to the schools now? I'm sure he's got his coaches all on the ground now, pretty much.
Yeah, he does. They got to get, you know, that, of course, it's always hard for a coaching staff to move in late like that, but, you know, I think he's going to do fine. Hopefully they're setting him up to be successful and give him the time that he needs. You know, Texas, UT is an amazing school campus, the facilities that they have, and I know they're hungry to get back in it. And I know Coach Sarkisian, they have started hitting the road, man, and trying to get it together. So it's going to be fun to watch. Thing is, they're going to be playing against Alabama here pretty soon.
Uh-oh.
Another year or two.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, Mr. Sarkisian. I'm still going to be rooting for my Bama boys. I wish you all the success.
Except that week. I had another question for you from a fan of yours, George, that likes you from when you played in Alabama and also in the NFL. But if there was one receiver that gave you trouble in the NFL, you were a big guy, 6'1", you were over 200 pounds, a big, big, tough man, corner, safety. Who would be that receiver that gave you difficulty that you – admired the most, respected the most? Was there a receiver that you remember that sticks out, or a couple of them?
Oh, Lord. Well, I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to give you this. I played against Jerry Rice. I played against Tim Brown. Played with and against.
That's enough there.
Sterling Sharp. Yeah. Oh, I played against Terrell Owens. Good. I played against Randy Moss. Mm. So, when you ask me who gave me the most fits, good Lord.
Pick one, huh? Yeah, it's
Metcalf, Eric Metcalf, you know who he is, and yeah. Andre Rison. I mean, it's not fair to
Right.
Who? That good
was,
Lord.
That was the Canton, Ohio era, huh, for receivers, huh? That was the Hall of Fame crew. And you leaving out probably a good 7 or 8 more. Yeah, that was a ton. I mean, yeah, you can't even. That's, I mean, and then you had coming up after you had the Irvins that came in the league and all these other guys that came in. But there was another question from an LSU fan. Do you have any memories playing against LSU? Anything that sticks out in your career playing against LSU? LSU wasn't as good as they are now. During that era, but was there any memories that stuck out playing LSU in Baton Rouge, Tiger Stadium, or on the road?
Yes. So I have, you know, going into Death Valley was definitely intimidating. And just seeing the way that they paint the logo, you know, on the middle of the field was just kind of awesome. It was surreal. To go in there, it just had this mystique or this aura of, you know, somewhere you don't really want to play, home field advantage. So that was really cool. And I felt like we had intense games because there was always talent there. Now I played LSU in, I don't know if we were in Birmingham or in Tuscaloosa at the time 1 year as well. And it was just loaded. But, you know, we were trying to do it. That's when we had a really, really good defense. And I just remember the competitiveness, you know, all the way to the last whistle. I mean, it was just,
yeah.
And I know you're supposed to do that anyways, right? But it just seemed like it was different because it was LSU. We don't want them to score. Don't let them get any more points. you know, and at that time, you're right. I'm saying this humbly, but we hadn't lost to them at all. So, you know, going into people's homes like yours, as I was saying, like LSU's, and and trying to win there, we knew that we couldn't take that lightly, because really the fan base, it's really, really good. I know I'm probably going to get in trouble for talking like that with your Alabama fans listening, but I got to give LSU their props. It's a really cool place to play.
Well, they're going to love you in Louisiana for saying that, Coach, because Louisiana people, they're like Alabama or Texas fans. They love their football, and they love their Tigers here. Did they have the Tiger come out on the field when you were playing? Because they don't do that anymore at LSU. They used to bring the Tiger out, and he'd roar. Did they have that?
Yeah, but, you know, in my headphones and in my headset, I just always had the big elephant. I'm always going through my deal that, hey, we can run this little Tiger up out of here, man. Yeah.
Like I said, you had the headphones on, yeah, so you didn't hear but, yeah, they don't bring him out anymore. But, yeah, you know, Coach, we're going to take one more segment with you. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on the greatest quarterbacks. Jimmy Johnson, former Dallas Cowboys coach, gave his greatest quarterback out. And I'm going to tell you who he picked. Kind of shocky in a way, kind of not. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. One more segment with Coach George Teague, former NFL star, Alabama star. Coach, we'll be right back and get your thoughts on what Jimmy Johnson was quoted as saying recently. He gave out his favorite, most talented quarterback ever. And I'll share that with you when we come back. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. Our guest is George Teague, star of the 1993 Sugar Bowl, Alabama against the University of Miami Hurricanes back when they were dominant. Coach, it's kind of crazy, isn't it, that the Miami Hurricanes, they can't even scratch a playoff game in the last 15 years?
I don't know what happened to the Hurricanes and Florida State. It just seems it's depressing to see, you know, perennial powerhouses like that not playing very well at all.
Yeah, and look, the former Dallas Cowboys legend, speaking of Miami Hurricanes coach Jimmy Johnson, he was quoted recently as saying that he thinks the most talented quarterback ever that he's seen is Patrick Mahomes. Would you agree with that?
No. and I'll tell you why, because I don't Patrick Mahomes, obviously, he's great. He's doing a lot of money. He won a lot of games, making a lot of money. And what he does is just so unorthodox, right? And I think a lot of us get caught up in that. To me, I look at it almost kind of like how when Brett Favre came on the scene, he was just doing things that were different, you know, making plays. You know, then you start to see Romo and, you know, just start evolving with guys that can move around and do a little bit more freelance football, backyard football. And I think that's intriguing to us as fans because you don't know what to expect. It might go underhand. It might go around the back. It's the stuff that we always wanted to do when we were little kids out in the yard, you know. So I don't know that necessarily makes him the best all-time, you know, ever that we've seen. Because when I think of can he make it there when we go into this, man, there's so much. Listen, I played for and against Brett Favre. I played with and against Troy Aikman. I played with and against Dan Marino. Yes, and then a slew of other quarterbacks. So I've seen a lot of guys. Shoot, I've even played against Tom Brady. And there's just guys that
probably
can pick you apart.
John Elway, too, probably, huh? John Elway?
Yeah, I did play against John Elway, too. You're right. And Joe Montana. I mean, so, I know I'm not biased on the era. I'm just saying, I'm thinking that you have to look at the full body of work. What have they done? Yeah. Tom Brady has been to 10 Super Bowls,
right?
Teams that had subpar. Mahomes got so much talent around him.
Yeah.
Good Lord, man. A tight end, a wide receiver, a running back, great coaches. I mean, everything is in place for that. Not trying to diminish what he's doing. That is not what I'm doing.
Oh no, I get
I'm
it.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like
there are some other guys.
It's like it's like Pac-Man, Coach. You remember the game Pac-Man growing up?
Absolutely.
Like stopping a little guy eating those dots. That looks like their offense. Like you said, it looks like the offense, not just Mahomes. And then the Kelsey's the best tight end in the league, you know, and you can't even guard him. I mean, he's unguardable third and four. And then, you know, they got all this speed, you know, receiver. They got all these backs. They got every kind of back you want. Power, 5'6", Edwards from LSU. You got everything. And then your O-line doesn't even have to be great. They just have to be fundamentally sound. And then, you know, I grew up, I'll give you my two favorite most athletic quarterbacks. Now, one didn't win a Super Bowl, Michael Vick. And the other one, Steve Young. Wasn't he the architect of dual threat, like in the beginning?
Yes.
You know?
He was a beast. And throwing with that left hand. I mean, both of the guys you just said, you make it difficult. Dude, I play against Randall Cunningham. Maybe we'll have another show on that and we can just talk about who we think are the best.
Right.
And
Brett Favre was
dual threat.
Brett Favre was dual when he was young. I mean, he could
Brett Favre? Oh my gosh, dude. He threw the ball so hard. He was a risk taker, you know, and he's won some really big games on his arm.
He was the first one. Wasn't he the first one? George, that would underhand it while he was on the run, unorthodox. He'd do some more unorthodox stuff.
Yes. And, you know, my first year playing with him, I think he had like 26 interceptions. He was just freelancing. And everybody like, man, what in the world is going on? You know, it was crazy. But then it was – he figured it out, you know. And
yeah,
here we go.
I'm going to tell you another one people don't remember. Well, Pete, you remember. You played against him, I think. He's the late Steve McNair. People don't forget how good Steve McNair was.
Yeah, man. I don't think they know how big he was either.
Yeah, good big Lord. Old guy. What, 230, 6'3"? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And could throw it. And my favorites growing up, now this is nothing to do with, you know, dual threat, but my favorites growing up was Montana, Doug Williams from Louisiana in his prime with Tampa Bay, Terry Bradshaw, Louisiana guy, Dan Marino, Peyton Manning, obviously Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers, man, he doesn't get the respect. He had a great year. They just couldn't get to the Super Bowl. And Dan Fouts. Was Dan Fouts retired when you got to the league, George?
Come on, man. Don't try to make me that old now, Lee. Come on,
now. I'm just joking. Eric Coryell, man. Yeah. That was back in Kellen Winslow Sr. now. Yeah. You were more toward the junior's age. Yeah. Senior.
Yeah. That's right, man. Don't do me like that. Yeah. That's wrong. But you're right.
Favorite Cowboy teammate that you played on defense, a guy that you knew was, let's just say, another DB for Dallas. Dallas had some great ones over the years, but anybody that you learned a lot from in the pros playing with Dallas?
Oh, yeah, I know. It was easy. You had to say DB. It was going to be Darren Woodson, another safety. But, I mean, he basically, when I first got here, man, kind of, you know, showed me the ropes of, you know, what it was to be a Dallas Cowboy, and the play and our bond was strong then. It is now. He's the guy that I'm still closest with from the team. Talk a lot. You know, I call him for advice about business or coaching, or when I get upset about T.O. or something, and he reels me back in. And
Arizona State guy. Arizona State.
Yep. Yes. Pac-12, he's a really good dude.
Pac-12 guy. Y'all were built the same. He was a big guy. Big guy over 6'1", 210.
That dude was huge. I mean, that's when I know our safeties in the league are getting bigger and bigger now, but he was what I deemed a big safety at that time, playing in the box, having to play man-to-man on wide receivers and, you know, not just tight ends. That was watching him play was, geez, it was amazing.
Coach, final thoughts with you, but Plano, Texas, you're now you're the head coach at John Paul II High School in Plano. Y'all play in the Taps League. Tell everybody all the Louisiana coaches listening, but tell everybody you're in a private league. I mean, y'all play Bishop Lynch, Lovejoy, Midland Christian, Parish Episcopal, All Saints Episcopal, very talented, Liberty Christian, now Jason Witten's the head coach, Nolan Catholic, Midland Christian, Preston Wood, What is TAPS to Texas? And these Louisiana coaches probably want to try and understand that from you, the TAPS league.
So our difference here is most states, and I think Louisiana is like this, the private schools or the Catholic schools probably are intermingled with the public schools.
Yeah.
We are not. That is, we have our own private school, major private school association. So we have our own classifications, our own playoff system. We can play against public schools for non-district games,
okay.
But our district games are strictly against other private schools. So we crown our own champions strictly from private schools,
okay.
Which most states aren't like that. So we're over the state of Texas. We have enough private schools that we can do that. So we're 1 through 6A. John Paul II High School is a 6A private school. You know, so we're in the largest division, largest football division. And so it gets pretty good. Now, you know, we got our own set of bylaws and rules. We don't follow what Allen, you know, I'm trying to think of schools that people may know.
Dallas Carter, maybe.
Yeah, Dallas Carter. We don't follow their, we have our own set of stuff. Now we're very similar. And obviously we don't have the zoning rules that they might have, but we really do have our own private school league, and that's why TAPS is so prominent. I think TAPS is like the 16th largest organization, athletic organization in the country.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big, yeah, we're bigger than, you know, a lot of, well, you know how big Texas is. So we got, you know, 50, you know, thousands and thousands of kids that we're trying to service. So,
yeah.
It's pretty cool deal, man. It's pretty cool. And that's why a lot of us, as coaches like myself, ex-pro guys, if you don't go into the UIL, there's another place you can get into as well, which is our private school arena.
Coach, let me ask you this before we go. What's the kind of normal enrollment student-wise for this league? Is it, you know, 500 kids, 1,000 kids? What's kind of the enrollment?
Yeah, so our enrollment at JP2 is – we're just at about a little over 700 kids
okay.
in the high school. Bishop Lynch and schools like that have over 1,000. I mean, we have some schools that are at 1,200, 1,400 kids. Some of them all boys, some of them all girls. But we're, you know, we got some schools that got 40 kids,
right.
But they will be in a, you know, a six-man division. But no, we got some pretty large school stuff. So for us in Texas, my school, we probably would be like a 4A, you know,
yeah.
Public school here, which is, you know, good size.
Yeah.
But, you know, for us to play in their tournaments like 707 and things, we have to play against their 5A and 6A schools.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, George, is that all the talent recruit-wise that come out of this league. I mean, this year they said the number one player in Texas, Brockemeyer, was what, at All Saints Academy. You know, I mean, that's, you know, the talent you play against is
dude, that dude, and by the way, you know, that's another one. Those guys are in my district.
Yeah.
I mean, we are the juggernaut of it, and you're right. There is a lot of talent. Kind of the misconception, of, especially in Texas, of, you know, what's the difference between the UIL and TAPS? It just so happens, you know, if you want to go to private school, if you're looking at a faith-based school, you're going to have to go into TAPS or some smaller organization. So, you know, that's really the difference. And when you got people like the Brockemeyers, hey, I got a 4-star defensive back. He's been offered by LSU, Alabama, Auburn, all the SEC, you know. But he came over and just because his parents wanted to, you know, do something different with education and things of that nature. So here he is. His name is Terrence Brooks, by the way,
okay.
Just in case you guys are looking up who
is he,
some of the offers you have.
221?
He's a 2022.
Okay.
No, 2022. So I know they're recruiting him really hard. All the SEC is recruiting him pretty hard. So, you know, we get a lot of good talent. We just made a small, little bit different than, you know, some of the Tyler schools or, you know, schools that are closer to you.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time to join us. It was a treat, man, getting an Alabama guy on in Louisiana that's in Texas, man. You can't draw it up any better than this, and talking about the NFL, talking about your program and all your career, man. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. I really do.
Well, thank you, and thank you to your listeners. I just ask that anytime, will you please share that I do a podcast as well, man. It's called Teague's Take. Teague's Take. We talk about high school football here in Texas as well.
Okay.
Have guests on there every week. So thank you, man. I do appreciate it.
We got a lot of listeners. Actually, I got a friend in Aledo that goes, his son played there. We got a few Dallas, Texas, Houston, a lot of Golden Triangle listeners. So that'll help you out. Say it one more time, Coach, your podcast, because for those, especially those Texas guys.
Yeah. So it's Teague's Take podcast. You can find it on Twitter and Instagram. If you're trying to look, we do have weekly guests. As a matter of fact, this upcoming week, I got a young lady from Alabama, DD Foster, coming on, a gymnast, but we always have Keith McCants is coming on Saturday.
Oh, man.
For our Super Bowl preview show. Yeah. I've had Nate Newton on and Darren Woodson, you know, Sam Shade, a bunch of Alabama greats. So they'll want to tune in, or at least find the listing and go to georgetee.com and see who our upcoming guests are going to be. We'd love to have them follow, man.
I want to thank Sarah. You know, Sarah's the one that called you that went to your school, high school there in Plano. She went to John Paul. She's an intern for us here and goes to LSU here in Baton Rouge. So we want to thank Sarah for calling you and getting in touch with you. That's her alumni, her school there. In Plano, Texas. But, Coach, thank you, man. Before we go, before you hang up, everybody go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. Coach, we do stories on recruits statewide in Louisiana 4 days a week here. We do bios on kids. We're about to do 222 guys. We're almost finished with our 221. We did our top 25 players in the state, which you can get. It's called the Bayou 25, Coach. And then we did a sleeper list, Coach. I watched 300 games this year. In Louisiana, everybody at least once or twice. Been doing it since 91, and I've got my sleeper list based on guys that aren't ranked on the internet sites. I just go with old school rankings for evaluating. What do you think of that?
Man, I think that's strong, brother, and that takes a lot of time and patience. So, and I want to say thank you to you for taking time to really watch the games and try to find these guys, because I'm sure that you help elevate them. You know, as you start talking about them and writing about them, it's really important for kids, because the recruiting is hard, especially now in COVID time. So thank you to you for serving that. And I need to follow you guys a little bit more. That would be great. Thank you to Sarah as well. I'll say that to her too, having the guts, I guess, to reach back to old coach and say, hey, can you come on?
yeah.
It's great. Hey, man, any way I can help support you or magazine, I know we got our little friendly Bama LSU rivalry.
yeah. Hey, look, when LSU's not playing Alabama, I'll truly say this. The people I know now, I don't know about the other LSU fans, but the people I know always pull for Alabama to win their games if it's not LSU. You know, cause
I'm rooting for you guys too.
Yeah. So, and then we got listeners from other colleges here that aren't LSU fans, you know, like ULL, Louisiana Tech, and, you know, just like in Alabama when you got the other schools there, like Troy. And who's that other school? That other school? Auburn? Is that?
I don't know. No, I don't know what you're talking about. But listen, I got one request before we get up. I got one request for your listeners, because I do come into LSU sometime for games when Alabama plays there. So I'll be sure to let you know the next time I do that. But here's my request. When I do come, somebody that knows how to make crawfish the Louisiana way needs to make me some crawfish, man. So when I come, I want to be at the tailgate. I want to eat some sausage, some crawfish, some corn. And I want to do some tailgating with somebody to know what they're doing, man.
Well, George,
hook me up, brother.
George, you know what you just did? You're going to have French guys all over Louisiana looking you up, man, going, I can do it. Because, look, you don't mess with people and their food over here. They love to look. They love for people to tell them how good it is. You know, that's what about Louisiana. They love, like, try it and tell me what you think. Everybody, everybody is a amateur chef here in Louisiana. So, I mean, yeah. And look, I don't know anybody that doesn't eat crawfish in this state. And I know a few that listen that can cook crawfish now, big time.
Hey, man, they can box drop me some or whatever they want to. We can make it work. I love me some crawfish. Maybe I got to go to multiple tailgates, get a pound here, get a pound there.
But I got to give you some advice, George, about this crawfish. You got to get it before the game because if they lose, I don't know if they're going to be serving crawfish.
I'm trying to get out of there after the game, that's for sure.
Before the game, it's all, like they say, it's all good before the game. So, George, look, man, take care. Be good in Plano. I wish y'all the best this coming season 2021. And pray for all the schools in the country, man, that we can just have a normal year as a family, as a, you know, everything. Just we can just get back to normal soon, right, George?
Yes, sir. And we are doing that. Everyone stay safe out there. You're right. Pray for some safety for us and normalcy. Not just for us as the coaches and as adults, but these kids need to be active in doing what they need to do. So we're hoping that our country, our leaders, you know, help us get us on track where we need to be so that we can get some normalcy back and go play some football the way we need to, man, you know?
Yeah, I know. had to gut it out this year and just get through out of all, with everything against, all the things against us, but we did it. And, Coach, don't hang up. I'm going to end the show. You were listening to the Sports Scouting Report. Thanks to George Teague, our former NFL player and also current Plano High School there, and John Paul II in Plano. Be sure to check out his podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.